Welcome to Croxley Green Baptist Church Sermon Podcast.
David's prayer to the God who shepherds. We pray to the God we have confidence in, the God we pray to through the experiences we have of him. Moses experienced the deliverer, the rescuer. Hannah, the God who can turn things around, making what seems impossible, possible. And Samuel experienced God as a young child, as the God who spoke to him by his name. And now we come to David, who experienced God as his shepherd. Real people having real needs, seeing God in different ways, yet all part of the whole. Needing to see God at work in all these ways at different times. How do you see God in relation to the work that you did? David was a shepherd, he saw God as a shepherd. If you were a teacher, you can see in your God the best teacher that there ever was. If you're a preacher, the same applies. If you were an accountant, then we have confidence in the God who keeps an account of how we handle what has been entrusted to us. If you were a manager, God is also a manager, and if he didn't manage, then the stars and planets would collide. If you were an engineer or an architect, God did one better. He designed and built everything out of nothing. So can we trust him when we pray to him? We most certainly can. So let's look at David's statement of faith and affirmation in the God he saw as his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he said. There was no question about it. David was an experienced and brave shepherd who safeguarded, led and provided for his sheep, killing bears and lions in the process. When David was anointed and called to be king, the Lord said to him, "You shall shepherd my people Israel." And David realized he could not do this without the help and support of one greater than himself, the one who would in turn shepherd him. So what did David know of this shepherd? "I shall not be in want," he said. A good shepherd always makes sure his sheep have what they need. We have even greater assurance than David, living after the resurrection, because we know the one, as we've already been reminded in the opening reading, of the one who said, "I am the good shepherd." Paul was able to say to the church in Philippi, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus." "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Most of us have now retired who are here this morning, and that's definitely one picture we can't try and link up to our God, because that he does not do and will not do. He continues to work. But we read in Genesis that after God had made the world, on the seventh day, he rested. Our God knows how to be at rest even while he works. The Lord our shepherd knows we need times of rest. And when we take time out to spend in his word, talking and listening to him, then he leads us into quiet, pleasant places in our souls and spirits. And we are refreshed, strengthened, renewed, and restored. "He guides and leads me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake." He leads us in the right paths to do the right things, not just because he wants the best for us, which of course he does, but for the sake of his dear name. How badly we let down the name of our God when we're no different from the world. When we allow the wrong use of his name to go unchallenged. People used to scoff at Mary Whitehouse, but we need a few more people like her who will stand up for what is right and what is godly for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You are with me. We have the words of the Good Shepherd himself, I will never leave you or forsake you. Have you ever heard the saying, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to get there? I wonder why that is. Fear? Fear of the unknown, perhaps? Yet we have knowledge that David did not have. We know the one who has already travelled this road and overcome. He is the way. None other dare we follow, as the hymn says. And when our time comes to walk through this valley, we can be assured that he is with us. Lisa can probably tell you, as can I and many others, of Christians who have gone on this journey with great joy, looking forward to seeing Jesus. Some of you will remember Jim Deaney from St. Bede's. He was on the committee of Shaftesbury Court. And Jim was taken ill and taken into hospital. And the doctors said to him, afraid there's not anything much more that we can do for you, and I'm afraid you haven't got much longer. And instead of collapsing into woe and fearfulness, Jim said, oh, that's good, I'm going to meet Jesus. Just before Christmas, my cousin in New Zealand lost his second child to cystic fibrosis, having lost his wife the year before. Joe, as she was always known, was just 32. And that family had great faith, and Joe was not without her own strong faith. The day before she died, she said to her father and her sister, my body may be dying, but I am not. I'm going to meet Jesus. And we had a text the next day to say, Joe has now met Jesus. Some of you will remember praying for the grandson of Margaret and Alex Salmon, Sebby, who developed leukemia at the age of 5. And one night, Sebby had a dream. He was on a train, and Jesus came and sat beside him and said, I want you to know that everything is going to be all right. I will be with you. And a few months later, at the age of 6 and a half, Sebby walked through that valley with Jesus. The Amplified Version says, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect me and your staff to guide. They comfort and console me. We can have complete confidence in the Great Shepherd who protects us and guides us 24/7, 52 weeks a year. In other words, 365 days a year, and every 4 years, 366. He is always there. He will never leave us or forsake us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup overflows. In ancient Near Eastern and Middle Eastern cultures, at a banquet, a feast, it was customary to anoint the heads of guests with a fragrant oil. And it was also expected of the hosts to protect their guests at all costs while they were in their home and enjoying a feast. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Our shepherd anoints and refreshes us and supplies all our needs, feeds us, even when our enemy, the evil one, is doing his best to kill, to steal and destroy. My cup overflows. Our God is a generous God. No good thing will he withhold from those that love him. Surely goodness and mercy, we remember from the King James Version of the Bible when we were growing up, but the NIV says, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Surely, David says, there was a surety about it. There wasn't a maybe. Surely, surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Goodness and love. Love is not what God does, it's what he is. The Bible doesn't tell us that God is loving. It says God is love. It is impossible for God not to love us. And where does the Good Shepherd lead us? Not into a holding pen for the night, but to dwell in his house forever. I have gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Please be assured that you, a real person, can have much confidence when you talk to the one who is your shepherd. Amen.